Environmental Laboratory in Vicksburg, Mississippi. My coworkers on this, Christina Kennedy and Cindy Price, were real helpful in getting this work done and continuing to work to get it done. What are we doing here? We know we have UXOs, unexploded ordnance, and low-order detonations on artillery training ranges. And because of that, we have a concern about the migration of TNT, RDX, and other degradation products of those from these firing ranges into the ecosystem. Primarily, we're talking about Comp B, Composition B explosive, and used in many of the larger artillery rounds, like 155 howitzer. One question that I had on this was, we know we have managed burns on installations, many installations, obviously on a firing range where you have explosives. You're going to have incidental burns. And the question is, do these controlled or incidental burns help to mitigate the presence of residual Comp B on firing ranges? So in trying to quantify this, if we can do that and show that we are actually mitigating the presence of these compounds in conjunction with managed burns, so we can sustain critical habitat. So it's kind of a win-win situation with this. Primary objective of this project is to determine the fate of Comp B during exposure to burning range vegetation. What we want to look at is, does a particle of Comp B actually combust during these fire events? There is concern that we're not actually combusting the material, we're actually melting it into the soil profile. So we wanted to look at that as well. This started out as a laboratory project with transition to the field. So in a lot of the laboratory work, we're looking at determining what measurement parameters we need to look at in the field, which ones are important. Secondary objective was to characterize emissions byproducts during these burns, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Preliminary test, first we wanted to look at what effect does aging have on the ability of these particles to burn. These are 1/2 gram particles. This is actually the aged on the left. It was aged for 1 year out in the field. This is unaged. This came from reclaimed Composition B explosive. Came in 2.5-pound cylinders, and we had to break it up into small pieces. Don't ask me how we did that. But we exposed this to flame, or to heat, and this is actually my modified fish cooker apparatus, and sitting on filter paper. And you can see our temperature curves here, and we actually started seeing melting. You can actually see the material start to melt a little above 150. Once it reached 200, it was starting to liquefy. As we got on up to about 325, you started seeing actual combustion, and there was really no effect between the aged and the unaged. Then we went to a bucket test where we added Comp B to a measured amount of soil, and then we added varying degrees of vegetation. In this case, it was pine straw, which you'd find in many of the southeastern installations. We also looked at grass straw, and we burned the straw, and then looked at not only the soil constant, not only the presence of any remaining particle, but also we looked at the soil concentration. And based on that, we were seeing reductions of Composition B ranging from 66% to 94%. So seemed to be very effective. And you can actually see this is actually the Comp B burning there. Then we went to wind tunnel test. We designed and developed a wind tunnel system. We designed plots that we could actually grow vegetation in these plots with different soil types, have different types of vegetation if we wanted to do that. This is our wind tunnel system here. It is 4 by 16 feet. As our blower, actually, we can control wind speed. I think we can go up to about 25 miles per hour, down to 1 mile per hour. We had vegetation and soil that was actually collected from two installations. We basically took the entire sod profile, transported that back, and put it in our test beds. And the wind tunnel will just sit on top of that and seal. These are like aluminum sides here. We can actually bolt that down and seal it. We looked at different wind speeds. In this particular test, we looked at 1 and 4 miles per hour. Obviously, vegetation, moisture, and biomass variables. We had different soil types. We looked at different particle sizes of COMP-B explosive from 0.5 to 2 grams. Basically, what we had inside the wind tunnel, you see these probes. These are our temperature sensors. And they're set to measure the temperature at the ground level. And we had 4 of these. The COMP-B would actually be placed in a line across at each of these poles. So we had 4 measurement points. And we would actually ignite the vegetation in a line. We wanted that nice fire line like you would see out in the field. So we ignited this entire width at the same time and let that burn through the different wind speeds, and you see the emissions coming out the other end. We actually have this tunnel designed so we can put in air pump monitoring equipment. We actually pull particulates and gaseous emissions and analyze those. These are some of the results from the wind tunnel test. This is at 1 mile per hour, 20% moisture of the vegetation. And you can see our temperature profiles. This is actually the front of the wind tunnel and moving through the wind tunnel. So it's pole 1, 2, 3, 4. And these correspond to those different poles. And you can see on the first pole, we're getting over 300, peaking at over 300 degrees Fahrenheit. This one, you can see on this last pole, temperature was significantly reduced due to some reason in just the vegetative cover and how that, maybe some moisture variances in that. But what you see is we didn't get a lot of reduction of COMP-B at that pole. If you look at these temperature profiles from 4 miles per hour, 9% moisture, you see we had a pretty consistent reduction across the poles of all of the different sizes. It didn't matter about the sizes. Half gram to a gram, they all seemed to burn readily, easily. What we find is that some of the burn pattern effects really dictate, not so much the temperature, but the burning pattern dictates whether or not you get combustion. You can see how this was a relatively low vegetation. It's kind of matted, and when the fire moved through, it moved rather quickly, but it wasn't extensive. It didn't burn deep towards the soil profile, towards the soil surface. So what you had is just a sort of the erect stems of the vegetation burning. Nothing really burned down near the soil surface, and you actually see the particle of COMP-B there. It's pretty much untouched. When you have vegetation like this, it seems to burn more efficiently, and you do get better combustion of COMP-B. This is looking at some of the plot means for some of the burns that we did, 1 and 4 miles per hour with the different soil types. And we had the pre-burn solid. This is actually the total weight of COMP-B in the plot. And this is the post-burn solid here. And you can see on some of these, we had really nice reductions. Less so on, say on this one with 1 mile per hour wind and high moisture content. And we also looked at the soil concentration. We took soil cores so we could actually determine how much Comp B residual was in the soil, actually what moved into the soil profile. And we do see some of that here. Overall, on some of these, we had some pretty good reductions of total Comp B, as much as 92%. Just looking at Comp B analysis, about 39% TNT, about 60% RDX, a little bit of HMX. And we looked at some of the, where we were seeing the solids reduced, and looking at the soil, or solid not reduced, and we looked at the soil concentration. We were seeing a little bit, but mostly the parent compounds, RDX, TNT, HMX. When we started looking at where we had complete combustion, we started picking up some of the degradation compounds, DNX, MMX, and 2-ADNT. Then we looked at emissions. This is some new data we've just gotten in, so I don't have a lot of information on it, but I'll show you a little bit of what we've been doing. We had a flux chamber test that we did, just looking at particles of Comp B. And we looked at some of the greenhouse gases, we looked at some of the explosives, we also looked at PAHs. And what we had, this is looking at some of the nitrogen oxide compounds, and we actually do get some of that coming off the just burning Comp B. This is looking at TNT, RDX, and DNA, and we do see some of that coming off as well. And looked at carbon monoxide and PAHs. This is naphthalene and phenanthrene. I don't know if you can read that up there. Benzoate, pyrrolene. We do some of that. We do see that coming off in the just burning the particles in the flux chamber. And then with CO as well. This is actually the background, and we do see quite a bit coming off. This one, oh, back up. Here we go. This is actually in the wind tunnel itself, where we looked at just burning vegetation, looking at the flux of PAHs coming off. We do see quite a few, mostly in the lower molecular weight, naphthalene and phenanthrene in particular. So these just, you're looking at this just, you know, kind of pre-answering some questions that we may have the idea of doing burns to control RDX presence in firing ranges. Conclusions. We did find that the burning characteristics are important. You do need contact with flame or embers of the composition B to have combustion. It does melt readily at temperature ranges that we would expect in a managed burn or incidental burn, but that typically they will burn off if you have any contact with flame or embers. We don't really see any effect of weathering on that. That was a real issue as far as if they remain out in the field for a year's time, will they burn at that point, but they do. We do see that we can get as much as over 90% reduction of Comp B, and it won't contribute to significant melting into the soil surface. We do have some follow-on work, going to the field, actually go out and get in front of a managed burn and set up our equipment and set up a field plot and see how well this works under field conditions. A lot of this is, you know, this, I have another work unit that's looking at surface runoff of RDX and TNT. So this kind of all fits into the same idea of looking at what effects do we see out on the range due to landscape characteristics, looking at how the landscape affects runoff reaching streams and exiting the installation, migrating off-site is what we're concerned about. And a lot of that's going to feed into contaminant fate and transport models, so we can actually characterize that on site and have some predictive capability of what's happening on the site. And with that, I'll answer any questions if I have time.
Any questions for Richard?
Yes.
Any similar work being done in the Department of Interior, like the Bureau of Land Management, where they're concerned about burns, controlled burns, that type of thing? Do they have any equipment or capabilities similar to theirs? Or do they need to bring their money to you and do grant work to support your program?
I don't know if they do. I haven't worked with them on it. We've been working with the Forest Service a little bit. They were going to assist in doing some of the control burns for us, but we're also working with installations and the National Guard. In fact, we're supposed to go down to Camp Shelby within the next few months and try to do a burn at Camp Shelby. But I don't know if the Department of Interior has any capability of that, or if they've been looking at it.
Other questions?
Yes.
I have this something, but I know when they do a burnout in the field, they typically do it on very low wind speeds. Is that something? I know that you have some different kind of wind speeds.
Right. Well, they do it under different wind speeds. That depends on the conditions. And I'm certainly not an expert in doing controlled burns, so I'm relying on the expertise of others that are actually doing it, and that's why we're going out in the field and letting them determine when to burn. I know the National Guard uses they go to the NOAA site, and it actually has a fire burn or fire weather site. They actually tell you when it's a good time to burn and when it's not. And obviously the wind speeds are going to vary. They do burns under varying wind conditions. Moisture, obviously vegetation moisture is going to affect that. So you could actually have a higher wind speed with less moisture versus if you have like a dry vegetation, high wind speed, probably not a good time to burn.